All right, welcome in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. 7 a.m. Tuesday, September 20th. Glad you're with us. A lot to get to because we went heavy Auburn yesterday. And a lot of you wanted to talk about that. A lot of you guys wanted to express just kind of your thoughts, your concerns, your frustrations with the Penn State game, understandably so. But there are a lot of games around the SEC we didn't hit. A lot of games nationally we didn't hit. And we've got to get to it today. Dave Matter. He's going to be with us at 7:20. Auburn gets Missouri this weekend. We'll just kind of get an update from him. Missouri, a little bit of a confidence builder over the weekend. 34-17, they knock off Abilene Christian. Not really sure what you take away from it. Brady Cook goes 21-30, 292, threw three touchdowns. So first game that he has thrown multiple touchdowns in his career. Dominic Lovick, 7 catches, 132 yards, 2 touchdowns. So he only had 0 touchdowns receiving entering the game and then was able to put up those kind of numbers. So you wonder, all right, they look at what happened with Penn State. They see what happened with Abilene Christian. Maybe Mizzou is feeling a little bit better about themselves heading to Auburn this weekend. We'll talk to Dave about that one. And I guess we're going full Mizzou today. We got Tom Hart coming up at 9:20. So we'll have all of your Como info on the show today. But we obviously want to talk a lot about other games around the SEC, the Auburn game. I've got one other thought on that that's a little bit different. After going back in and kind of, I was watching it for something else yesterday, and I noticed something totally different. I want to hit that, talk about that today. Then also, just want to talk about some of the other games that have some importance here and some of the other games that a lot of folks want to pay attention to here. I want to ask this question, though, a little bit later in the show. Probably 8 o'clock hour, we'll do this. What players have impressed you the most in college football this year? Now, I think we usually come into a season and we have a regular list of names that we're going to look for, that we anticipate, and that we know. Like, I'm not going to say C.J. Stroud has impressed me most. I'm not going to say Will Anderson's impressed me most because I expected that from those guys. So kind of leaning towards the, I didn't really see that coming angle of who has impressed you the most this year in college football. Any position, any team, any place, anywhere. You let us know. And you can be a part of the show always, Bud Light Hotline, 800-239-9569. You can tweet in, at Mac and Cube. Twitter feed always brought to you by our friends at Royal Buick GMC. A couple different ways you can listen to the show. Be a part of the show. JocksFM.com is where you can listen online. Tell your home smart speaker to enable the Jock skill or listen to Jocks. All right, so kind of, I guess, a close to Auburn and Penn State yesterday. 41-12, the final. We know how it went. We know how it looked. We know what it was. And kind of went back yesterday, Damian, and said, I want to look for a couple of different things as to how this thing played out, why this thing played out the way that it did. And I came across something totally different. Now, going back and looking at the numbers, Sean Clifford versus Auburn in his career is 2-0, completing 82% of his passes.
Wow.
2 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's got a couple of rushing touchdowns. Penn State in the game had 212 of their 245 yards rushing before contact.
Ooh.
Say that again if you missed it. Maybe you're honking your horn at somebody in traffic. 212 of 245 on the ground before the running backs were touched. Entering the game, Penn State had 77 total rushing yards before contact, averaging 1.2 yards per carry. Yeah.
Not going to get it done.
Who do you think the last ranked conference opponent, non-conference opponent Auburn beat at home was? I know one that wasn't because I lost to him.
I'm going to say...
You won't get it.
Was it Clemson?
No. The last ranked non-conference opponent Auburn beat at home was Florida State, number 7 in 1990. 2017. So, obviously, Singleton goes 10 for 124, 2 touchdowns. He's only got 334 yards on the season. 4 touchdowns on the season. He had 2 in this game. But when I went back and watched it, what stuck out to me that was so different and that I'm not sure I noticed the first time around, and I don't think I actually noticed it during the game either. was Sean Clifford. Now, you'll sit back and you'll say, now hold on a second. The numbers really aren't that great. Sure, 82% over two games against one team, it's always going to be good. That's always going to be impressive, but that guy wasn't lighting it up. He wasn't out there just throwing darts. He wasn't the reason Penn State won the game. His numbers weren't that great. They were super eye-opening. 14 of 19, sufficient. 178, didn't throw a touchdown, didn't throw a pick. But it was different, Damian. I'm not talking about the throws.
Uh-oh.
I'm not talking about the scrambling or the design run plays, of which there were a few. 6 carries, 15 yards, a touchdown. It's what he was doing before the snap. And I didn't have the realization in that environment. We all heard how loud it was. A lot of you were there. Heard it yourself. This guy, between every snap, was directing traffic, walking up to his offensive line, changing protections, pointing out certain defenders, because he got some weird looks. There was a little three-man front that they ran where Derek Hall was like kind of walking around. This is Mike linebacker with another linebacker behind him, and he was redirecting the center a couple times. Their center had a really nice game, by the way, 70. He played really well. He's moving his backs back and forth. You can see him changing the protection. You can see him changing the ID points. And this was on almost every single play. Almost every play. Clifford going up to the line of scrimmage. You know it's loud. He's communicating with his offensive lineman. He's giving signals out to the wide receivers. He's checking things and changing things on almost every play for Penn State during the course of that game. And I noticed it after two series, and I said, all right, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to start paying attention to this. And I was wowed at just how much was on his plate during that game, how much responsibility he took on, how much communicating he was doing. And listen, slowing that thing down was probably part of their plan. They had an idea, if that run game got going, that they were going to be able to huddle up, they were going to be able to take some time, they didn't have to necessarily get the snap off quickly, so he had time to do it and time to operate with it, but still, it was the ability in a hostile environment to be able to get to the line of scrimmage, talk to your guards, talk to your center, change the IDs, change the points, change the fronts, obviously get the protection the way you needed it to be. He didn't take a ton of hits. Now, I'm not talking about while he's running, I'm talking about as a passer, and he did a good job of getting the ball out quickly. But he ran six times for 15 yards. He ran for a touchdown. I think he picked up one other big first down. He caught a pass for 25 yards, and he only threw 5 incompletions. None of them were interceptions. And he did all of everything else at the line of scrimmage. And that's the part that I walked away from saying, you know what? I underestimated Sean Clifford. Because how many times we go in thinking a quarterback's got to go 28 to 32 for 350 and 4 touchdowns, and that's how they're going to win.
Right.
I mean, we're going to get to about it later in the show. And that's what I mean. I'm going to throw out guys that threw for 400. This is what we do.
Yeah.
We want running backs to run for 200 and quarterbacks to throw for 400, receivers catch for 200. Like that's how we view it. But I came away with a completely different appreciation for Sean Clifford. How he directed, how he managed, and that's a negative term, has negative connotations. So I'll say it this way. The way he operated the Penn State offense was absolutely fantastic. And he got different looks. He got defense that was moving around a little bit. And you know what kind of environment he was doing it in. After he took a de-cleating death blow on the first series of the game.
Of which,
he popped right back up and ran a quarterback sneak and converted a first down on the next play. Took his team down, scored a touchdown that he rushed in on the first drive. So all I'm saying is, I'm here to give credit to Sean Clifford in that game. I have not been a big believer. I have not been a guy that has said he's the reason Penn State wins a lot of games. And I'm not saying he's the only reason. But I came away after taking a closer look at that game last night thinking, this kid did a lot more than a lot of people are going to realize in this football game. Because if you go back and watch it, just pay attention to what he is doing pre-snap for the entire football game. I mean, 14 was in there just directing traffic. I mean, he was like the air traffic controller at the airport with the two light sticks, just telling everybody where to go, telling everybody where to be, telling everybody how to do it. Came away very impressed. And there are a lot of things on the other side that continue to be unimpressed about. So give us your thoughts, 800-239-9569. Tweet in. Get your thoughts on that as well. I don't think that there's too much more that we need to go into with this game. We talked about just the counterplay, the misdirection plays that Auburn could not stop, did not have an answer for, some of the zone stuff that they couldn't find an answer for, could not get to Sean Clifford on a regular basis. 2 years, two games, no sacks against Sean Clifford for the Auburn defense. So those are the things I saw when I went back and watched it again last night. Probably not what people wanted me to see. Probably not what people wanted to hear. But how it presented itself to me when I took a closer look yesterday afternoon. Rich is in Albertville, wants to chime in on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome into the show, Rich.
What's up, guys?
Not much. How you doing?
Good. Hey, I was unfortunately like you. I didn't really get to watch the game Saturday just in spurts. So I watched it last night, and I kind of came away with a different viewpoint. After kind of seeing it, I did turn it off after the fourth quarter or in the fourth quarter. It was the line. It was on both sides, offensive and defensive line. I mean, this is almost the same people that played last year, and they played worse. And I don't know if we need to make a change on the offensive line coach and maybe the defensive line coach. I don't really know, but that was the biggest takeaway. But I also sent you something via Twitter late last night. And whenever you get a chance, I like to get your opinion on what I sent you. It's about Deion Sanders. And just kind of see what you had to say about that. But I'm going to hang up and listen and enjoy y'all's show.
Appreciate the call, Rich. Thank you. 800-239-9569 gets in the Bud Light Hotline. We were asked about it yesterday. We had a couple people bring it up, calling in during the show, and it's just not something that I have enough confidence in to really be able to speak on right now. I have nothing to back anything up, and Auburn has a head football coach right now, so I don't really know where to go with it. And I understand that it's something that people want to talk about, something that people think is a cool, fun conversation, but the team is still 2-1 last time I checked.
Yeah.
And had one bad game and has a winnable game coming up this weekend. And then another game at home that's going to be at night that could be a fun environment against a team that has had some letdowns this season. So we'll see in a week or two how things look. It might be worse. It might be done. I don't know. But we'll see how it plays out. You never have to worry about how it's going to play out at Royal Automotive, because for 50 years, four award-winning dealerships, one family-owned and operated business, it could only be Royal Automotive in Vestavia. The Royal family of stores has been the Magic City source for new and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs for decades. Put all that experience to the test when you visit Royal Pre-Owned Auto Mart, Royal Buick GMC, Royal Volkswagen, or Volvo Cars of Vestavia Hills. You won't find a faster, friendlier way to shop for a car. Had to go by Royal yesterday. Had to check out a couple of things that were happening over there. Got to see kind of a sale in process, and thankfully they got it done and just got to get a different idea of exactly how they handle things when a customer's in the store, and you won't beat the experience. They're your go-to leader for the models you want, like GMC Sierra, Yukon, Volkswagen Atlas, Buick Enclave, Volvo XC90. You'll find all of those with absolutely no market adjustment fees ever. DealerRadar.com, even named Royal, the number one GMC, Volvo, and Volkswagen dealer in Alabama for customer satisfaction based on customer reviews. Find the entire Royal family of stores where I-65 meets Highway 31 in Vestavia online, royalautomotive.net. And remember, for every ride, there's Royal. So that's not something we're going to go into right now. If that time comes and we get to it, obviously, we'll gather information and we'll be able to have more conversations on it. But as for now, it's Auburn, Missouri coming up this weekend. Can they find a way to win that game? Dave Matter, who covers the Missouri Tigers, is going to join us in a few minutes. We'll ask him just sort of where this team now is after the win against Abilene Christian, because we saw that ugly loss, against Kansas State. And then over the weekend, what did we see? We saw Kansas State lose to Tulane. Tulane, by the way, 3-0.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure who had that.
Okay. Roll
away. So if you had Tulane, Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, and North Carolina at 3-0, you win. How about this one, Damian? Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina. Coach Stoops wouldn't like this, but mostly known for?
Basketball.
It is the first time in the history of planet Earth that those four teams have started 3-0 in football.
Wow. The Blue Bloods.
It has never happened.
Never seen it.
Not one time.
Look at them now.
In your face, Cal.
That's it. It's a football school. It's an everything school.
In your face, basketball.
Look at it.
3-0 for the first time ever. Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina.
Who drops one first?
We'll discuss that. We'll take a look at some of those teams. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But when we come back, we're going to talk to Dave Matter about this Missouri team that's coming to Auburn. Actually, I have one more thing before we go to break. I wasn't going to do this to you. I wasn't going to be this guy. 41-7.
Feel like we should have gone to commercial there, but no, it's all good.
No, because we're not going to. We got too much other college football to get into before we do. Tannehill goes 11 of 20 for no touchdowns and two picks. They're outgained 414 to 187.
When you say it out loud.
The Titans ran for 80 yards.
Yes. It happened. It happened.
Oh. Josh Allen, 317, four touchdowns.
It's Josh Allen, man.
Diggs, 12 for 148, three touchdowns. Let me ask, did you watch the end of that game? You probably turned it off.
No, I turned it off.
Some of the things are being said about Josh Allen, and I love Josh Allen. I love him coming out, and I think he's great.
They put him in the Hall of Fame.
Face of the NFL?
A little early. I think Patrick Mahomes still, as long as I remember Patrick Mahomes.
And it was he or Mahomes. Last time I checked, there's a dude playing in Tampa that still can't hold all of his rings.
Yeah, right. Like, he's still blinged up.
And there's a dude in Green Bay that does it as well or better than anyone.
Back-to-back MVP.
You know, hey, we just...
They ain't played nobody.
Monday night football game and anoint the new guy. Okay. Wow.
It was ugly though. They neutralized 22 and put the.
What did they not neutralize? Because I don't think it was just him. I feel like they neutralized the entire team.
They did.
Yeah.
Because they even recovered a punt. So all three phases we lost.
It was ugly. Also last night, Jalen Hurts a big game. Philly takes down Minnesota 24-7. Jalen goes 26 to 31, 333 yards passing with a touchdown. Ran 17 times for 57 yards and two touchdowns. And Cousins goes for 221, one touchdown, three interceptions.
Yeah, but he's
not great.
That's what we come to expect.
All right, we'll talk to Dave Matter about this Missouri team coming to Auburn. What does he anticipate this weekend? That's next right here on McElroy and Kublik in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kublik in the morning. Going to talk some Missouri Tigers with Dave Matter here in just a moment as they roll into Auburn this weekend. First, if you didn't win, if you didn't play over the weekend, you need to get involved now. Underdog Fantasy, easiest place to play fantasy football. For somebody like me who doesn't have a ton of experience, I just kind of want to be into it, give me something to talk about, folks around here at the office, and maybe pick up a little extra. Now you can do it. Go to underdogfantasy.com today. Enter promo code MC945. Get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Get involved in that pick'em game that you hear me telling about. You pick your favorite player. He's going to go higher or lower in a certain stat total this week's game's chance to win big. You can win up to 20 times your money in a single game because you'll pick between two and five players, build that pick'em entry, and then see what happens next. And the best part is you put in $100 today, promo code MC945 at underdogfantasy.com. They're going to double it. So you'll have $200 to play coming up Thursday night, and then obviously NFL this weekend, if that's the way you want to go. College football as well. You can go to underdogfantasy.com or download the app in your app store, iPhone, Android. It's free. Just search Underdog Fantasy in your app store, and I'm telling you, it's easy to navigate, easy to get through, easy to figure out. And if you go in there today, whatever you deposit using promo code MC945, up to $100, they are going to match it. Get going on that pick'em game for this week and this weekend at underdogfantasy.com. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Dave Matter joining us now, covers the Missouri Tigers as well as anyone. How much can we take away from this game against Abilene Christian over the weekend? Because Brady Cook does some nice things, a couple skill guys really get going, Dave. But obviously level of opponent is not what they're going to see for the majority of the rest of the season. Can we take away a lot of confidence points? Is there things that this team learned about themselves that can be applicable to what they're going to see this weekend inside Jordan-Hare Stadium?
Man, I don't know. There were still some red flags that came up on Saturday that we've seen come up in some other games, especially along the offensive line. They just struggled to get a push up front. The running game has been really struggling. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Brady Cook was fine. You know, Luther Burden and Dominic Lovett are two playmakers that, you know, provided most of the offense, and a kick return touchdown too helped. Defensively, they were okay. They gave up a garbage touchdown late. Not many explosive plays or anything like that. They didn't tackle great, but I don't think the concerns lie there. The concerns are on offense and just inability to sustain drives and win matchups up front. And if you're losing matchups up front against Abilene Christian, you know, what's going to happen when you get into SEC play?
That's going to be a problem. Is Javon Foster healthy? Is he 100%? Have you heard anything about him?
They've never said anything about an injury with him. He's been okay. I think he was a lot better last year. It might be just that he feels like he's got a lot on his shoulders because you've got some younger guys around him, or at least some less experienced guys. You've got a redshirt freshman center in Connor Tolleson who is going through some stuff right now. There's no other way to put it. Missouri, their guards, they're just okay. They've been up and down, probably more down than up. Foster's allowing some pressures that we didn't see last year, so it's definitely something to watch because he's the guy that they need to count on being that all-SEC-type player on the edge there. For them.
He was one of the more enjoyable players in the league that I watched last year, and he's just not the same guy. And It's not even really all in pass pro. One of the reasons that I liked watching him so much last year is not, you know, 6'5", 320, and how he moves, but just he was a finisher. He's a punisher. He's a guy that played the game the way it's supposed to be played, and I don't see that a lot from him this year. A lot of that run leak is coming from the second level, being able to climb up to the linebackers, different things of that nature. So there's an opportunity for teams to be able to take advantage of that. What does Coach Drinkwitz say about maybe being able to get that right, maybe being able to figure out some of the deficiencies in that run game that has been successful at times?
Yeah, you know, he actually said after the game Saturday, they've got to go back this week and figure out who their best five offensive linemen are. And, you know, that kind of, you put that on Twitter and the fans kind of freak out and say, well, that's what you should be doing in camp. It's one of those situations where kind of the coach can't win there. Either you're sticking with something that doesn't work and you get crushed for that, or you admit, hey, it's time to go back and reassess and adjust, which I think is what you should do, you know, when it's not working. And he kind of gets crushed for that too. So, I don't know what great solutions there are. You know, they're not getting much out of the tight end position. They have a transfer from Buffalo. They've got a former walk-on. You know, he likes to have a tight end back there as an extra blocker in the run game, and I just don't feel like they're getting a lot out of that position either. So they've got to figure some things out right now. They don't have the luxury of having a Tyler Beatty back there, an all-SEC back, who can maybe make you miss and make up for some blocking that's not great. They've got a platoon of guys who are just kind of guys at running back. So it's a challenge right now.
What about on the other side of the ball? Because that's a group that has been active. I think individually, if you just sort of picked apart Missouri's defensive line, you'd find some certain guys at certain times to really be excited about. Collectively, it's better than it was a year ago. I don't think you might really debate that, but what are Coach Drinkwitz, what are the staff's thoughts of how the defensive line is performing so far this year?
They're not getting blown off the ball like they were last year. They're also not being really disruptive. You're not seeing the tackles for loss. You're not seeing a lot of pressure. Some of that from the Kansas State game, they faced a real mobile quarterback in Adrian Martinez, and you know they were probably playing a little bit more contained, not trying to get too upfield and then let him run by for 30 yards. But even against Abilene Christian, they weren't getting much of a push. They were okay against the run. But when you have, they love their depth, up front. They've been starting different guys at tackle, kind of moving guys around. They've added a bunch of Power 5 transfers. Christian Williams is a tackle from Oregon they really like, who has now moved into the starting lineup. Jaden Jernigan, a transfer from Oklahoma State. They really liked him. You know, the two ends have been at Missouri forever. Isaiah McGuire, Trajan Jeffcoat, they've been fine. I don't think they've, raised their game to that next level that you'd like to see as seniors yet. So that group, I think, they've got a pretty high ceiling, and I don't think they've come close to reaching it yet.
Dave Matters joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. We're talking Missouri. He covers in for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave_Matter. When you begin to sort of, I mean, listen, it's easy to see what Auburn had happened to them a week ago and say, oh, well, a lot to be excited about if you're coming into play. But you know, when you kind of dive into it from what you've seen from Missouri and collectively what you've seen from Auburn, what do you feel like you need to see from Missouri for them to find success inside Jordan-Hare Stadium Saturday?
Well, they've got to handle the environment, handle the adversity of just playing on the road in a loud place much better than they did at Kansas State. Now, Kansas State was super loud. It was filled to capacity, but that's a stadium that only seats about 52,000. Obviously, there's going to be a bigger crowd at Auburn, and this offense especially has got to handle that better. They had a bunch of false starts at K-State. Even last week at home, a lot of holding penalties, six holding penalties on the offensive line. And that's not necessarily related to the crowd, but it just goes with the composure factor. And they have got to be composed. They've got to start fast on offense, or otherwise, you know, they can get buried in a hole pretty quick, even against an Auburn team that, you know, was clearly struggling last week. So I would say getting off to a fast start and just fixing these issues that they've had on the road, frankly, since Drinkwitz has been here. He hasn't quite figured out how to get his team ready when they play away from Columbia. And, you know, nobody on this team, at least from Missouri, has ever played at Auburn because Missouri's never played at Auburn. I think maybe one or two of the transfers have. But, you know, it's a totally different deal when you're with a new team. Obviously, Eli knows Auburn well because that's where he got his start in coaching, and several of his assistants has coached there too. So before you even talk about X's and O's, they've just got to handle that environment better.
And that's one that obviously Penn State handled well last week. So they've at least got a blueprint as to how potentially they could be able to make that happen. You mentioned offensively just Brady Cook, some of the weapons, the offensive line not performing the way that they should. But I would feel like everybody in Como's got to be pleased with the skill positions and what they've done. I mean, Luther Burden obviously had a lot on him coming in. Everybody knew what he was, knew what they expected of him. He's lived up to the majority, if not all of that hype. Have to be excited with what you've seen in Columbia, Missouri, with some of the skill and how they performed for Coach Drinkwitz this year.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, Burden had a kind of a setback at K-State where he only touched the ball one time, but they made a real concerted effort to put the ball in his hands last week, especially putting him back there to return punts. They were a little reluctant to let him return punts the first two games. He didn't do it at all. He returns the first punt on Saturday, goes 78 yards, nobody touches him. So I think he's got that job locked up for now. And then the passing game, they targeted him a lot more. They let him run some wildcat, which I think we'll continue to see because it is effective for them. And then Dominic Lovett really has taken over at the receiver position and been their big play threat at the slot position. He was an outside receiver last year. That didn't quite suit his talents the best, so they move him inside. And now he's right up there with, you know, the leaders in the SEC in receiving yards. And he's really developed some chemistry with Brady Cook. I think he really trusts him and looks for him a lot. So, they've got some playmakers there. As long as Cook has some time, he's got the arm to connect with those guys. But they do need to complement it with some kind of running game. Short yardage situations they've struggled in. You know, Eli likes to throw it out to the perimeter, the short stuff, to kind of set up the deep stuff. And just all of that hasn't really come together yet.
Yeah. Dave Matter joining us at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch talking Missouri and, you know, kind of what they've been so far this year heading into Auburn this weekend. It's a little bit early, but what do you anticipate? How do you see this game playing out Saturday?
Well, it's on paper, this is a super pivotal game for both teams because you look at the rest of the schedule for both of them, it's hard to find wins. And I don't think either of these teams are probably, you know, looking at this game as like, well, we can't beat Missouri, or Missouri can't look at this and say, well, there's no way we can beat Auburn. If you look at the rest of the schedule, gosh, this is one you should be able to get if you're either team. So I think that's reflected in the point spread, you know, being around 7 or so, which give a little home field advantage to Auburn, obviously. But you can't worry about that stuff. You've got to just focus on this game, obviously, and that's what we're going to hear about from Drinkwitz when he meets with the media later today. But, you know, if you're talking about going to a bowl game near Missouri and you're talking about making progress from last year, and really they've been a 500 program for 6 years now going back, you've got to start winning a game like this, one where you've got a chance. And that's not to say they will. You know, it's hard to predict them to do something they haven't done yet, and that's go on the road and beat anybody, you know, in the SEC. They've maybe won a few here and there, but not many. But it's really pivotal. I mean, obviously everything going on at Auburn it's pivotal to beat a team like Missouri on the schedule. But for Eli, too, I mean, there's more criticism, fan criticism on him right now than there's ever been. And, you know, you start to wonder just how he and the team will handle that kind of pressure.
I don't think there's any doubt that this becomes massive for both of these teams when you look at already what's happened this season and then, of course, what's ahead. Dave, really appreciate the time today. Great stuff as always, and I look forward to doing it again soon.
Okay, thanks, Colt.
That's Dave Matter of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He covers the Missouri Tigers. Follow him on Twitter at Dave_Matter, M-A-T-T-E-R. Join us on the Bud Light Hotline, carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste when there's fun. Bud Light is there. Now, some of you may think things are bad in Auburn. Some of you may think things are bad in Lincoln. Some of you may think things are bad in other places. I'm going to give you an example of just how bad things could be. And much, much worse than those two examples. The epitome of bad this college football season, I will share it with you next, right here on Jocks 94.5. Is the sky falling down?
Allegedly. I mean, that was a mean tease that you had going into the break. So,
I'm going to get to that in a minute. Everybody thinks a lot of folks think that a lot of things are bad with their team. You just wait, Tom, what I'm going to give you here in just a minute. Just give me a second. But first, Scott Mack tweets into the show. At Mack and Cube, you can be a part. As always, Twitter feed brought to you by friends at Royal Buick GMC. 25 minutes ago, at Cole Kublik, I'm gone, guys. Can't take any more Auburn crying or talk.
He spent a lot of time talking Penn State.
I feel like that was a good 10, 15 minutes of complimenting Sean Clifford.
And then we had a guest talking about Missouri.
Hadn't heard much
all Tiger talk. You hadn't gone full barn yet.
See ya.
It's like, man, we're going to miss him.
If you're crying about what you think you might get for your home when you're going to list it, you should probably call Gusty Gulis of the Gusty Gulis Group. They're brokered by eXp Realty. Hundreds of buyers that are right there ready to buy. He has access to those. Gusty's already marketing different homes, so he knows how to handle yours when you are ready to list it. Long before he meets that potential seller, he's been on Facebook, Instagram. You hear him here on the radio. He knows marketing is a crucial part of his real estate success. Just ask Jocks listener Evan, who said, we are so grateful to work with the Gusty Gulis Group on the sale of our first home. He knew Gusty's reputation and trusted them implicitly to handle the sale while he was planning to move across the country. Pictures of the home are fantastic. All the paperwork was streamlined and painless. When he became complicated and Evan needed a tenacious advocate to stand up for his side of the deal, he knew without a doubt that he had chosen the right agent. Everybody at the Gusty Gulis Group, kind, professional, and made the process as easy as it could be for us. There's over 825 five-star Google reviews for Gusty Gulis and the Gusty Gulis Group. Call 205-542-1996 today, or just Google Gusty Gulis Group, or you can look them up, GustyGulisGroup.com, and find out exactly what they can do for you. Again, 205-542-1996 for all your real estate needs here in the Birmingham metro area, or Google Gusty Gulis Group, or go to GustyGulisGroup.com. That's GustyGulisGroup.com, and start packing today. Listen, there are a lot of teams that are struggling right now. There are Auburn fans that are mad about what happened over the weekend, right? It's not good. Nebraska fans can't be feeling very good about things.
No.
You look at a team like Navy, 0-2 on the year. Not fun. Not good. A lot of people probably not happy. I mean, things could be bad. You could be New Mexico State. You could be 0-4.
Yeah.
Colorado State, 0-3. Don't have a win. Colorado, by the way, this is the whole state struggling. 0-3 there as well.
Ouch.
Georgia State, a team that I thought was going to be pretty good this year. 0-3. That one, by the way, over the week, that was
ouch.
That's a really good win for Will Healy in Charlotte, who has not looked good up to until that point this year, but that's a bad loss for Georgia State. Now, all that being said, you probably think, oh, it's miserable. Oh, things are really bad. Oh, man, what am I going to do? Then I bring you to the University of Fort Lauderdale. Yes, they play football.
Say,
it's a real thing.
Say what now?
It's a real thing.
Okay.
It is they are located in a strip mall in South Florida. Their first game, Damian, was called halfway through the second quarter.
Halfway through the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
How out of hand did this get?
Their second game was canceled before they even attempted to play it.
Excuse me?
That's right.
Not enough players?
Yes.
Okay, understandable.
The University of Fort Lauderdale has now forfeited another game. This time at Southeastern to start 0-3.
Ouch. I played Southeastern when I was in school. But
that's
not good.
The University of Fort Lauderdale has played less than 20 minutes of football this season. They were down 49-2 in the second quarter of said game when they decided to shut it down. You have not played 20 minutes of football and you're 0-3.
You're 0-3.
So just when you start thinking that things are bad for your team, and just when you start thinking that things are going to get worse or couldn't be worse, I present to you the University of Fort Lauderdale.
Wow. Yeah, like you said, it could always be worse. You play 20 minutes of football and you already 0-3. That's painful.
You haven't gotten through a game.
That's painful.
So the Eagles are, I guess, going to look to try to find a way to play a game, finish a game, get a game going.
I don't know.
The Webb International game canceled. Next would be St. Thomas University, also in Florida, on October the 1st. See if they can find a way to be prepared for that one. Now, the good news is, on November the 12th, you're scheduled to play Florida Memorial University.
Mm-hmm.
That school has been mentioned on this show for a reason. Florida Memorial University played Southern earlier this year. Southern then played LSU.
Right.
Florida Memorial lost to Southern 86-0.
Say that one more time.
86-0.
Okay. And Southern.
Southern lost to LSU 65-17.
God damn.
And Texas Southern 24-0. So I think we get an idea where some of these startup in South Florida are.
I don't know if you've gotten a chance to look at the stats for the University of Fort Lauderdale in their 49-2.
I haven't seen the loss. Tape on the Eagles. I'm just going to let you know.
Yeah, for total yardage, they were in the negative for total yards. They had a whopping 4 yards passing.
Now, Damian, remember, this is only – by the way, the best part is on their website, they're still listed at 0-1.
Yeah, because, I mean, understandable.
We don't count forfeits.
No, not at all.
Why would we?
But as a unit, they had negative 59 rushing yards in the game against Iskren. And that brings their total to as their total yardage total as a unit to negative 55.
The team is 3 of 7 passing on the year for 4 yards and 2 interceptions. 3 of 7, 4 yards, no touchdowns, 2 picks.
Yeah, 4 sacks.
Why are we trying this?
Four sacks.
Why are we trying this?
Listen. I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to be positive about it, but I don't. There's nothing you can say to help this out.
I'm just saying, you look down that schedule and you see Bluefield State and Atlantis University and Edward Waters. Just watch out. It's not going to get any easier.
It's not.
For
it's not.
Fort Lauderdale U.
Fort Lauderdale U. Yeah, like it's going to be tough.
Or I'm sorry, the U of Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. UFL, man. Come
so
on.
Listen, I'm trying to lift the spirits of folks that may be a little bit down, that maybe things are bad for their program.
It could be worse.
Lots.
A lot worse.
A lot worse it could be. So just everybody just pump the brakes on your team and how mad you are and how frustrated you are. And then think about what could be and how it could be and maybe exactly where some other schools are. By the way, speaking of where things are, did you know that the 2023 SEC schedule is going to be released tonight? Football.
No, I didn't.
Football schedule. Tonight.
No, I had no clue.
That's tonight, 6 p.m. on the SEC Network on SEC Now. You will get the 2023 SEC football schedule. Now, I know what a lot of people are saying here, and that is, man, this should be an off-season deal. They should just... But don't you want to kind of get this out as soon as possible, like logistically, I think? And I know the NFL waits on theirs, but it's a little bit different.
Right.
I mean, I don't think a lot of people are planning trips as much as they are in college football, trying to get other places, do other things. So, and then I think some of the travel is a little bit more difficult as well, and just how it's handled and when it is. So, but it would be cool for this to be just sort of its own off-season event. Like if this was early June and we had – and we're sitting here talking about,
right,
you know, Alabama's third-string quarterback, and if we got to an emergency situation with him, which team is in the best situation with their backup quarterbacks? Next on Mac and Cube. Like, that's where we are in the summer.
Right.
It'd be nice to be like, hey, man, tonight we got the schedule release coming out. This is going to be cool. We'll be able to watch it. Come in tomorrow. We'll react to it. It's going to be neat. But I think logistically, it sort of has to be handled this way. So tonight you'll get that on SEC Now, and you'll be able to see just kind of where teams are going to be playing and how things are going to line up. So you got something to look forward to here on a Tuesday when not a lot of other football is going to be happening and we're not going to be able to talk about a whole lot of other stuff happening there. So, and you guys hear me talk about Michelson Laser Vision all the time, a place that I called over 20 years ago. 205-969-8100, that's the number I called. Set up a free consultation with Dr. Mark Michelson. I wanted the LASIK procedure. I was tired of the glasses and the contacts, dealing with the cases of solution. I don't want to deal with any of it anymore. And obviously, you guys know in the fall, my vision's got to be on point. Got to be able to see across the field, either up from the booth, different things. And because of what I do for a living, my eyes, extremely important. Got to be able to see what's happening and seeing what's going on. Thanks to Dr. Mark Michelson, I feel like my vision is still perfect over 20 years later. I walked in legally blind, walked out feeling like my vision was absolutely perfect, and I feel like that still today, over 20 years later. Go to MichelsonLaserVision.com, get more information. And remember, Dr. Jennifer Michelson now joined his practice right there at UAB Highlands, offering comfortable and convenient care. They can help you with other things like laser eye surgery, lens implants, treat nearsightedness, farsightedness, astigmatism, cataracts. You can eliminate that dependence on glasses and contacts like I did thanks to Dr. Mark Michelson and Dr. Jennifer Michelson at Michelson Laser Vision. MichelsonLaserVision.com or call 205-969-8100 today. So we'll get to Tom Hart in the 9 o'clock hour. 8 o'clock hour, want to do two different things. We'll get to who was bad about it over the weekend, and then I want to know from you, 800-239-9569, 800-239-WJOX. You can also tweet in at Mac and Cube. What players have you been most impressed with in college football this season? And I want some guys that maybe weren't the usual suspects coming in. Like, yes, C.J. Stroud has been impressive. Okay. Yes, Will Anderson has been impressive. Like, we knew those things were going to happen. Yes, Hendon Hooker has been impressive. Like, we kind of knew that. Who's exceeded your expectations? Because I think there's some guys out there that we're probably not talking enough about that have really gone past what we anticipated that they would be and what they would be able to accomplish this early in the season. And looks like they're going to be able to continue doing it throughout the majority of the season. Some guys kind of going backwards. Some guys flashed a little bit early, and maybe we're taking a step back saying, that's not what I thought it was going to be. It's not really what I thought we were going to get from that individual or that position group or that team. We'll go into some guys that are maybe surprising some folks. And obviously hear from Nick Saban, hear from Brian Harsin, some other SEC coaches on what's going on because we got more massive matchups coming up this weekend. But we haven't gotten through all the games in the SEC from week three, nationally from week three, so we still need to do that. So we got individual performances, team performances that we're going to talk about in the next hour, and we want you to be a part of that. Tom Hart coming up in the 9 o'clock hour as well, and we will not talk about the University of Fort Lauderdale anymore because I think it's apparent based on their statistics and based on their record, even though they only claim to be 0-1, technically 0-3, after less than 20 minutes of football, we do not need to spend any more time on that. But we will talk about great individual performance so far this season next on McElroy and Kublik in the morning.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.